Hello, everybody, and welcome to TYHA podcast on TRS Radio, dedicated to youth issues. My name is Anglo, and with me I have the good old Nikkei, my sidekick.
Hello.
And with me we have two little rascals. Null, say hello.
Hello, guys.
And then the good old Moisha.
Hello.
So how are you guys doing today? It's a nice Saturday, huh?
I'm balling today, son.
You niggas still in Saturday. Fucking catch me with that Sunday now.
Yeah, he already went to church.
Oh shit. Yeah, yep. Oh shit. We've got someone from the future on.
Thinking future mode.
He's in the future. Time machine, he's in the future.
Yeah, I'll hit you with some stock tips. Number one, don't buy stocks. That shit's for nerds.
Wow. You heard it here first. Stock markets are gay.
So, what'd you guys do today? I had a good old big sandwich to celebrate the East Coast.
The whole day?
Yeah.
Really good sandwich. Gotta, like, celebrate that.
It was a good sandwich.
He said it was big.
Off. Usually I get the mini size, but I got the regular this time.
Oh, big boy.
Yeah, I really picked out.
It's a huge sandwich. Season. It's a huge sandwich proportionate to him.
Yeah.
That's like any sandwich.
Oh, this is something I just saw on Twitter. So I guess Anthony Bourdain died a year ago today.
Yeah.
So this guy.
Also, USS Liberty was 52 years ago today.
Oh, wow. What happened?
Jewish
there,
thing is on watch.
Absolutely nothing at all.
I didn't know about that. What was it?
I don't know.
It was similar to Tiananmen Square. Nothing happened.
Yes. Except even more nothing happened.
A lot of nothing happened, and a lot of people you wouldn't presume to be behind it weren't involved.
Yeah,
nothing
there totally
happened, but it was
no
border this time.
And there was totally no attempt to almost nuke Cairo.
Definitely was not happening.
Is this a day? This is happening.
Yeah, you know.
Wait.
The USS Liberty, I've never even heard of that ship. Can you even say that ship exists?
My favorite ship.
My favorite ship is the USS
anyway. John McCain.
I mean, do ships even exist?
Has anyone ever seen a boat?
I've actually never seen a military ship.
I low-key hope the Israeli Air Force...
Well, that's just because you were short. There was one passing by the other day when we were out.
What if John McCain never existed? He was just a simulation.
They're gonna.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen John McCain, so I don't think he's real.
They're gonna. Well, you live in a country that I've never seen, and I don't think is real.
Yeah. Dang, we're like hardcore empiricists right now.
Speaking of the hologram thing, I think I wouldn't doubt if they give the Holocaust treatment to John McCain and make him live on forever.
Oh, that would be scary.
Like, yeah, but can John McCain melt steel beams?
I mean, if he hated them enough.
Has he got lasers coming out of his eyes?
Nah, he would just be able to convince the rest of Congress to pass a resolution melting steel beams.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I always thought when I was younger, when John McCain was going against Obama, I always thought he was kind of scary because his jaw or whatever, because he couldn't, just the way he talked. I'm like, oh, that's a scary guy.
I thought he was, well, when you basically put Grandpa Simpson out as the candidate.
I'm curious about, do you remember at all the 2008 election in Australia, the U.S. one? Really?
I vaguly remember it, but the only
thing I
remember
is it took a while for it to get there.
Yeah.
Well, they knew the results.
It took a couple of days for like the passenger pigeons to get here, but because we're in the future, we actually saw beforehand. But the only thing I remember about it is that like literally every single TV channel had like something about the election while it was on.
Isn't that crazy?
Like his historical event, America, something, something. Okay, cool.
Historical event, and America is about to throw itself down the drain and elect a nigger. Yeah.
Yeah. And like it's like I just years... want to fucking watch cartoons, and I see like, oh, Obama voted number one. It's like,
yeah.
It's my fucking SpongeBob.
Well, it's like American imperialism. It's like all you have on TV is our elections and SpongeBob.
Yeah, here's a good question. Do you think there was ever a point in the 8 years of Obama's presidency that more Australians knew about the American president than the Australian president?
Probably.
Prime Minister, whatever you got.
Yeah, well, the Australian Prime Minister, we've had a fun thing called a leadership spill that happens every like couple years where the party decides that, you know what, we don't want to have this current Prime Minister as our Prime Minister. They have like an internal vote and they just elect a new one.
Who'd you have back during Obama?
You had that insufferable anti-gun asshole, right? Or was that John Howard?
Yeah, I think we had Howard back then, and then it was Rudd, and then that's when it started getting like Rudd was kicked out for Julia Gillard, based a woman prime minister, who was then like kicked out later again. And I think we had like four different prime ministers.
Is Gillard the one that literally would sleep with everyone?
But she's a woman, so probably, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I had heard.
Fucked her way to the top, huh?
Pretty much.
Yeah. What's her name? What?
Julia Lardia.
Yeah, it's Julia, but Giardia is funnier, so we'll go with that.
I actually don't know how I have never heard of Julia Gillard, but I know about Kevin Rudd.
I don't even know any of these people. I'm so...
You're so pleb tier. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no. Man, do you listen to noise music, Moisha?
Noise music? No, just this show.
So. Just listen to the podcast where I put it through like a bunch of filters and like get rid of all like the highs and just, I don't know, turn into the static. Listen to that.
Yeah, that's good.
Experimental.
So, I found something interesting today.
You did?
So, there's this guy on Twitter called Dr. Pizza. I guess this guy really likes cheese pizza.
Uh-oh, I know where this is going.
So, there's this guy on Twitter called Pumpkin Fright, and he's a prominent, or he was, a prominent vlogger, or blogger, for Ars
Technica. A member of the Blue Choisie on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't see it anymore. Did he used to have a blue check mark?
Oh, yeah,
because he has almost 18,000 followers. This guy is a tech writer for Ars Technica, and he's obviously rather popular considering his follower size. And, of course, he's this, like, insufferable shit lib. Let's read his description. His, you know, Ars Technica writer, I don't speak for my employer. Retweets our endorsements unless ironic. Immigrant, Londoner, New Yorker, European. Poly Pan Pervy, he, him. He lives in Brooklyn, New York. So this
of course
is a
he does.
This is a Londoner who lives in Brooklyn, and he's acting like he's some immigrant. So, I mean, he is technically, but I kind of hate that when you see these Europeans that come over. It's like, oh, I'm an immigrant, just like Jose right here. I'm the same type of person.
I'm basically a nigger.
Yeah, that's what
yeah,
they do.
Yeah, that we can agree
they're
with.
They're trying to get the end pass. I know. Yeah.
So you know he was a total. He's a total fag. Shit-lip, total fag. You know, talking about like look how Brexit's so bad. But guess what? This guy, his real name is Peter Bright. He was arrested for soliciting sex with children.
More children as in more than one?
Yes.
Yes, this guy is a total sicko.
Sounds like a total fagola.
Yes.
Dude, this... I'm about to say some redacted shit.
Yeah, redact this, please.
Call me back. I'm about to go sicko mode on this.
Can I fucking tell you a tweet of this guy?
Yeah, tweet.
May 9th, 2017, quote, as someone named Dr. Pizza, I dread to think what my involvement in Pizzagate will turn out to be.
Oh!
That's you not funny. That's just terrible.
Really, it makes me think.
So, I don't have any qualms about telling y'all what actually fucking happened here. This dude somehow found himself in a situation where this lady asks him, or like, he convinces this lady that he's a reliable person to, like, I don't know, teach sex ed to her kids.
Kindergartner?
Yeah.
Her kids, who are like 7 or 8 years old, like, not older than 10, less than 10 years old. And what that educational role turns into is like texting this child about sex.
I just think it's crazy that his name's Dr. Pizza. I mean, come on.
Well, would you prefer it be it'd be something else, maybe like Colonel Pizza?
Look, I think Donald Trump needs to take this as a sign that he needs to reinstate that Muslim ban and include England as a country we're not going to accept immigrants from.
Do you want to read?
Well, the thing is that it could work both ways. If we had a fag ban, it would work for England, too.
A fag and Muslim ban.
Well, there would be a lot of overlap there.
Yeah. I mean, Baka Bazi.
The term Islamofascism is canceled. Islamo-sodomy. That's
well,
the
you
real-
go back to old Nat Dane law, where it's just Islam is sodomy, which he may not, may not be wrong there.
You Muslim! Faggot!
Like, they don't want to advance in the future. They want to fuck donkey. That's yeah, that's fine. They can do that. They can just do that over there.
I was really missing my nigga Nat this week. If you out there, man.
He used to comment on our show. He's like, youthful podcast, disgusting. you know.
Yeah, it was pretty gay.
So here's some information. So an undercover FBI agent made contact with him on KinkD, a social media fetish platform. So this guy, using the username Random Anon, responded to a message posted by the agent a day prior in which she purported to be a mother seeking to connect with people who would teach her children about the birds and bees. So the agent informed Bright that she had a 7-year-old daughter and 9-year-old son, and they started chatting on WhatsApp. And he wrote of molesting both children and raping the 7-year-old. He sent pictures of his penis and photos of tests showing that he did not have any STDs.
Well, that's a damn shame.
Okay, so it's all good.
Yeah, he's being very nice about it, about committing the worst.
At least he's being healthy.
According to the complaint, both consistently referred to his plans to molest the children as teaching them lessons. And he described how he would slowly begin to move on to more intense sexual activity. I'm thinking maybe something involving foreskin is the way to start. And the rest is
what? Gross.
I don't know.
He's going to go for a hot, what was it? Hot circumcision? Is that the entrance? I think they're already past that age.
But he was talking about how he was teaching another girl off and on in the Bronx. So this sicko going to like impoverished areas to molest children is, you know, is a journalist and he's respected and he has all these followers and he says he's good at teaching. I think masturbation and anal sex are probably my favorite subjects to teach. That's a quote from him.
He's got 11 different tweets where he says the word pedo bear. July 5th, 2009. I broke out the pedo bear t-shirt today. you know, earlier that year, February 23rd, also excellent, explaining to my parents what pedo bear is. So 10 years ago, on September 11th of 2009, he says, wearing the pedo bear t-shirt, fucking A.
To celebrate 9/11.
It's just been one big long game.
Dude, there were signs.
I had a friend, and this is when I stopped hanging around him.
It was the pedo bear t-shirts, or did he go straight to the Pornhub t-shirts?
But you had a friend that wrote for Ars Technica, and no, was Dr. Pizza.
I had a friend who he had like a pedo bear sticker on his bike. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? That's not funny.
What is this, like on his bike with streamers and such on it? Or at least it wasn't. Maybe was he transitioning to a tricycle?
I don't know. We were like 15, 16, and I'm like, man, I don't know if you want to do that. It's like, man, I don't know why you'd want to put a sticker of pedo bear on your, you know.
Did he like know what it was? This is like a funny like bear picture.
No, you knew what it was. No. I'm like,
dude, pedo why bear. Do you even have to ask that?
Yeah.
We're talking about a literal pedophile.
Okay, here's this. On July 24th, 2009, a column by conservative commentator Pat Buchanan about the early months of Barack Obama's presidency included an image of pedo bear, which generated considerable reaction from non-political commentators. I didn't know Pat Buchanan was sharing pedo bear memes.
I just would like to know why the Wikipedia page for pedo bear is part of Wiki Project Japan.
So I think this is just a good point to show to the audience, and I think we all know this, but maybe tell your friends, these are the journalists who are talking about how we are morally depraved people for believing what we believe.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Whereas this guy is a total sicko. He is the worst human being you could be. He's a pedophile. He's one of the worst human beings. I don't know. And we are told by these type of people all the time that we're horrible for wanting to preserve our race or for wanting to do little podcasts like this. And it looks like a lot
of... Well, he might be right about the podcast bit.
what'd you find, Nikkei?
So, he comments on this post. Now, this post is a particularly abhorrent Sonic the Hedgehog fart fetishist art.
What?
What? What in the world?
Bad even by my standards.
How deep does this rabbit hole go?
Dare I describe what is happening in this image?
Wait, did he draw this? Did he share it? What's going on?
You're gonna have to put that in for further study. What's the link?
God, I definitely don't want to let you see this, Moisha.
Yeah, I don't want to see it.
It, not that I'm accusing you of being a fetishist of this. I just know that you'll find it funny when you're supposed to find it disgusting. No, I'm more of a
Super Mario guy.
Well, what would you think of the proposition of Tails farting into a garden hose that goes into Sonic's mouth, and with another garden hose coming out of Sonic's ass and into Knuckles' ass?
What the hell? I think I might have known people who would have drawn that for non-fetish reasons.
I think you're a fucking liar.
No, I'm thinking of one person in particular.
I think that person doesn't exist, and you're a damn dirty liar.
No, he exists. He's just not exactly.
I refuse to believe this. Anyway,
did he share this? I'm confused.
Dr. Pizza replies saying, "I did not know this was a fetish."
Nor did I.
Yeah, he found a new fetish, I guess.
That's, yeah, you go and see if that's on his fetish account.
Yeah, that's sick.
We're gonna have to look that one up. What is Tails farting?
Please, God, no.
Dude, sometimes I wonder if the internet was a mistake for stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, he wouldn't have ever been, like, you know, trying to solicit sex from, you know, a
cartoon character,
a fed child.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it's like industrial society and it's like get rid of industrial society, I just mean like get rid of the internet and then like everything else should be fine.
Yeah, I still want my some Taco Bell, you know what I mean?
No, I really don't.
Taco Bell is pretty good. Me and Nikkei are big fans of it.
Yeah,
if you want a quick Zog meal, go to Taco Bell, get a dollar, like one of those dollar burritos, and you're set if you're you know.
So I think the name of this episode ought to be Fart Fetishism.
No.
No.
Okay, so
just getting noise around the board.
So Nikkei said that we should name the last episode Power Bottom Grandpa, and I did not do that. So I'm definitely not going to do this one.
What was wrong with that?
Yeah, what's wrong with Power Bottom Grandpa?
There are several things wrong.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. No way. Yeah,
that does remind me. We had some comments on our last episode.
Oh, yeah. I always forget about the comments. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to respond to this one.
Screw
this episode.
The comments.
Hey, you're a little guest. What? I can kick you off. Don't talk bad about our audience.
Yeah, I can come over. I know where you are. I did find a. Never mind.
It's probably better that you don't.
Yeah, just, I don't.
I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to ask either.
So what are the comments?
Ken the Palm says, "Great show, tackling the issues nobody else will."
Yeah, like Ken Boy.
And the great late President Richard Nixon says, "Cool podcast. Jews make me angry."
I agree, Richard Nixon.
Yes, thank you, Dick. Love you, man. Keep up the good work.
Nikkei loves Dick.
You caught me.
Any other ones, or are they just like...
Martin Gordon says, "Good shit, guys."
Hey, thank you.
Zeke says, "TYH, most underrated podcast on TRS." Thank you, Zeke. And Biff McUltra says, "Power Bottom Grandpa had me laughing for several minutes."
That was the funniest thing I've probably heard you say in a long time.
Now, why do you have to go and post this, dude?
What did I post? I didn't post anything. What do you see?
Yeah, no, you didn't post anything. We're gonna leave it at that. Because you're too much of a coward to say it, right?
I know you'll say it anyway. No, I'll say it. Do you want me to?
You better fucking not.
No, I don't need to know this.
I was just an instruction guide.
Why were you looking this up? Why were you curious?
Why do you know these things? Why do you should know these things?
You literally shouldn't.
There's some knowledge that should not, like, be in, like, human possession.
This is not like saying, "Why do you know that?" to, like, you know, 13 do 50. This is like, no, why do you know that?
Yeah.
Well, you never do know.
This is like not anarchist cookbook shit. This is like.
Are you sure it wasn't in the. This is the kind of stuff that I would think would be in the anarchist cookbook.
Well, that's what they throw to people. They throw like fart bottles.
This is like the anarchist Kama Sutra.
Oh, God.
God, man. Oh, gosh. That really stopped the whole thing. That was gross.
Yeah, do we have any news stories?
have any actual content?
No. Other than, like, I hate pedophiles and you should, too.
Are you trying to belittle my talking point there?
No, I'm wholeheartedly in favor of spreading this message. If any of our listeners don't hate pedophiles... Get your shit straight.
Don't listen if you hate. If you're like, oh, man, pedophiles, man, I don't know, man. Just don't listen.
Well, also, if you want to know how to capture a fart, we know how to do that, too.
Yes.
No, I don't. I have no idea how to do that.
Well, I just posted the instruction guide.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I opened it.
Okay. Actually, this is from Drudge. Drudge's front page has the link that the title says, Hundreds from Ebola-ridden Congo dumped in Texas, which is a link to InfoWars. Yeah, there are a bunch of Congolese who were dumped in San Antonio.
With Ebola.
Wow. I imagine they all have little bits of Ebola.
Or just in the midst of an outbreak or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's probably enough Ebola to go around, but their agents have a... Okay, you have the large amounts that were... of niggers from Angola, Cameroon, and Congo who were filmed wading across the Rio Grande and entering the United States. I will put this in the chat. And no, it is not a link to something else. And there also you have Catholic Charities, which is behind most of this, bringing in all of these dindus into San Antonio, the same ones that brought all the lovely diversity into Minneapolis. I mean, I already have had a problem with papists, but this is really just nailing it down even further, doesn't it? All right.
Okay, I just want to talk about something. I want to do a little intervention.
So for whom?
For me. I think you guys need to set me straight. So yesterday, for the first time in about 6 years, I turned on my PS3. And I started playing Grand Theft Auto 5.
How did I know you were going to play GTA?
Why didn't you play it on the computer?
I heard you say
turned my PS3 on and I'm like, oh man, he's breaking out Grand Theft Auto, isn't he? And sure enough,
and it's like I feel bad for it. It's like
I unironically
come out of the closet and become.
I love the story of GTA 4.
Here's the thing. This is GTA 5. I started the story mode because this is actually a game I didn't have. My sister had it. I stopped gaming before that came out. Stopped in like 2012. And it's actually kind of red-pilled about American society. And I'm like, oh.
The first mission of GTA 5 is you're a black guy and you steal a car.
Yeah. It is. And it's like.
I haven't played GTA 5 actually.
You're a black guy that steals a car. And your boss that tells you to do it, he like works for a sketchy company where they repo cars, but it's basically he's stealing the car. And his boss, his name is Simeon, and it's not quite evident if he's Jewish or Arab. It doesn't really say, but this is what he does. The guy,
go ahead.
So the boss, Simeon, whenever someone comes into the dealership to buy a car, a white guy, he's like, you're a neo-Nazi. What are you doing? You know, you must pay this much more because you're a neo-Nazi. I can't believe it. You know, and that's his, and it's, I'm like, huh, I wonder what they're doing.
Sounds like a kike.
Yeah. Maybe he's an Israeli. But it's like, I don't want to get back into gaming because that shit is expensive and stupid.
Well, I remember back in GTA 4, there was this, a couple of Jewish characters in there, and like one of them, his backstory involves his time in the IDF.
Oh wow! And I did not know that. I played GTA 4, but I just like blew stuff up.
And they're like they're breaking this Jewish guy and his younger brother, just like you know, banting back and forth. Like the older Jewish guy is like the one who was in the IDF. He's like this short guy with a more charming personality. And the younger brother is like a tall try hard douchebag. Mm-hmm. And they're just like you know, banting and breaking each other's balls over financial dealings, and it's just like, is this how like the casual Jew normie operates? It must be, because, you know, the devs had to be clued into something here to portray this in such a way that's so believable. It's like, oh yeah, I joined the IDF, and it's like, oh haha, you totally fucking lost out on that property that you bought.
Well, here's something from Haaretz, or Haaretz, as you guys say it. I know Hebrew, okay? This is the name of the video game, Anti-Semitic Stereotypes. Jews make frequent appearances in the freewheeling world of contemporary video games, but almost always represent age-old negative images such as gangsters, victims, and devious villains.
What do they want? Do they want, like, a fucking Call of Duty where you just shoot up Palestine?
Well, that's kind of...
Yeah, that's going to be the new one.
Yeah, the new Call of Duty, don't you play as, like, the White Helmets in Syria? Like, as far as I'm... that's what I heard.
I
don't know that you play as them, but I know they are in there as the good guys at some point.
Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah.
The White Helmets, like, by name?
I don't know, because I'm very out of touch with the gaming world, but...
Catch it might me. Be the White Helmets by name, but it's like moderate rebels.
Yeah.
Catch me with that Kill All the White Helmets mod.
Yeah.
And what button do I press to launch barrel bombs?
I want to play as the Syrian army and, like, you know, when the mission loadout.
I want to play as the Russian Air Force.
When the mission starts, I just get like a personal message from Bashar Assad, and it's like, you know, do it for him.
Well, you know, they have the in Call of Duty the mission. What was it called? No More Russian or whatever.
No Russian?
Yeah, no more. No White Helmet.
No White Helmet. Yes!
Remember, crew, no White Helmet.
You just, you're like, you have a gas mask on, and you're like, you have, it's like a flamethrower, but instead this, like, green smoke comes shooting out of it.
Press Sonic. The launch siren.
Like the Sonic porn.
Oh, no!
So it all comes round back together. It's one big circle.
No!
Speaking of which, there's a InfoWars has news about Pete Buttigieg.
Okay.
Apparently, his husband will not say whether or not love has an age.
Ew.
Pete Buttigieg's husband won't say love has no age. Similar tagline to NAMBLA's "Love is Love" slogan. Kristen Caitlin Bennett asks, some thought asks the husband of Pete Buttigieg, and no answer.
That's the gun thought, right?
The what?
Gun thought.
The conservative gun thought with the curly hair?
I don't know.
It's like the Kent State school shooter, like the Kent State reverse shooter.
I don't really follow my thoughts.
She was like this thought who like brought a gun to Kent State and was like,
Caitlin,
you know,
Bennett?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna need to do real research on this.
If like her profile on Twitter, I think. I mean.
Yeah, that looks like it.
She probably has a gun in it. Yeah. That's what she's known for, taking provocative pictures to get boomers horny, and get donations.
Well, I want to go over. I want to continue with this Haaretz article because it mentions Grand Theft Auto by name as being an egregious example of anti-Semitism.
Oh, yeah. Lay it on me. What do you say?
So it mentions Godfather 2 first. Godfather Part 2 presents Jewish gangster Hyman Roth. While the Grand Theft Auto series features neurotic Jewish mob lawyer and comic Schlemiel, some Yiddish word. I don't know what it means.
Schlemiel.
Schlemiel. I never heard that, actually.
I think that's another one of them,
it's like a fool,
words they use to say retard. Okay. Like schmuck.
So, Jewish mob lawyer and comic Schlemiel, Ken Rosenzweig, who is molded on David Kleinfeld, the character played by Sean Penn in Carlito's Way, but also talks about Grand Theft Auto 4, where Haredim wander Liberty City streets dressed in their long black capotes. I think I remember that. So they do have Jews walking around Liberty City in Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah.
So do they just have, like, no Jews in games?
I guess,
or, like,
so.
No representation at all? Because, I mean...
Well, you can have the mod where, like, the Jewish characters don't respond, so you can just kill all of them, and then you have a GTA world where there are no Jews.
They don't respond.
I actually read this article that said the new Spider-Man game is going to be like so accurate that that the Jewish characters don't spawn on Friday nights in the game.
Ooh, Really? That's real?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do any work?
Like, you won't see any of the Orthodox Jewish character models, like, walking around during,
their little satanic preparation for the Satan worship that they do.
Right, so they'll all be at home, so that you won't see any Jews walking around on Friday night. You can just party it up, because there's no Jews around.
Well, there's this. In Grand Theft Auto 4, there's a subplot which requires players to gun down double-crossing Haredi, which is an ultra-Orthodox Jew, by the way, if you don't know what Haredi meant. Haredi diamond dealer Isaac Roth, who, together with other ultra-Orthodox Jews, runs the Jewish Crime Syndicate, a criminal organization. So just Jews appearing as, I guess, normal people.
As gangsters.
Is anti-Semitism. Jews just walking the streets of Liberty City, that's anti-Semitism.
Like an actual depiction of, like, you know, what Jews did in history is just bad, you know. What if they made a Holocaust video game where you just play soccer and then go to band practice?
Don't forget the swimming.
They mentioned that there is a positive game, which represents the Jews in a good light, called The Shiva. Unlike the other games mentioned here, Jews are the central characters in this rabbinical adventure of mourning and mystery. It stars Russell Stone, the rabbi of a poor synagogue in the Lower East Side of New York City, who inherits a large sum of money from a former member of his congregation, who was murdered 3 days earlier. Stone's decision to investigate the circumstances of the man's death takes him on a journey across Manhattan to uncover the truth and reveal a deep conspiracy. Jewish conspiracy. That's my little addition. But this is also a game that no one has ever heard about.
You know what? Another Rockstar title I remember having a specifically anti-Semitic moment in there was L.A. Noire. Where it's like this game where you role play as a investigator for police, and in one of the criminal interviews there's this obviously guilty Jew involved. It produced this viralized caption that says, like, you know, "You disgusting left-wing leaning parasite, you expect me to sit here and listen to your drivel?" And then he, like, goes on an anti-white Jewish, you know, spat at you. He's like, "You fucking goyim! You're all the same. You all hate us. You're so anti-Semitic." And then it's like, oh, you catch him in a lie there, and he's like, "Damn it!" But yeah, same it's company like Rockstar as GTA.
Our company. Our game.
Yeah. May well be.
Yeah, I gotta head off now. I'll leave you similar here, Niggies, to talk more about epic gamer moments.
Yeah, it was nice having you, buddy. Hopefully you can.
Yeah, hustle with stuff on, but see you guys later.
I've gotta get off to keep packing as well, so.
Okay, I guess it'll be Nikkei and I.
Yeah,
you guys get continue. Off to fudge packing? What?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Wow.
He's gotta go fudge pack.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gotta go fudge pack, and he agreed.
Right, exactly.
All right, well, good
night. I have some fudge I need to send out.
All right, see you later.
See you. Bye-bye.
Okay, so Nikkei, yeah. I just think it's interesting because I think there is an element of, I don't know if I would quite call Grand Theft Auto our game, but it does offer some good criticisms of Americanism.
Oh, absolutely.
And when I was a kid, I didn't really think much of it. I just thought the little, you know, when I would play Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, I thought that the commercials they would have were just little humorous things, but I never really thought about the bigger message behind it. But it does criticize some of the, I don't know, I guess like mammon worship we have in America.
The games always feel like they have a very deep love put into them. Like each little bit of details is done with extreme, like, you know, devotion to portraying a real and, you know, it's not overdone or overwrought America. I mean, some of the more commercial things in it, the more commercial riffs are overwrought, like the Pisswasser beer ads.
Yeah, I remember that back in the day.
And the Eagle News channel on the radios. Oh my god, the video, like when you sit down to watch the TV, the Republican Space Rangers.
I did not see that because I didn't really get big into Grand Theft Auto 4. I assume that's in Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah. Oh my god, Grand Theft Auto 4 is such a good game.
Well, yeah,
I love it a lot. I think it's
You're a Yugoslavian guy, right?
I mean, I'm not a fan of Yugoslavia. I prefer the individual Balkan states.
No, I know, honest. But like you're this guy from the Eastern Europe, and I only played a little bit of the story.
Yeah, the protagonist is like this, you know, Balkan Wars refugee, basically. Well, he was participating in the Balkan Wars, but he's been displaced, you know, since then. Opportunities have run dry, and here's this guy who, you know, worked in a, I guess you could call it a paramilitary.
Yeah, yeah.
But carrying out, you know, what he would describe as atrocities and trying to find meaning and purpose to this inhuman life that he's lived. And here's America, and it all falls back into the same shit just yeah. now. Instead of doing it for country, he's doing it for profit.
Yeah, it's... There's some... So I was kind of wondering, like, to me, like, I felt guilty, but at the same time, I felt like I was getting kind of red-pilled. Because, you know, one of the, I think, important red pills for us is to recognize that, even as Americans, that our country, you know, you don't have to hate yourself or anything, but our country has been responsible for a lot of, for spreading of a lot of pause throughout the world. Let's just say that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the whole dissolution of Yugoslavia and the wars that followed suit is totally pushed by American agitation.
Yeah. And not even just that. Just, like, it's good for us to recognize that there are elements of our culture that are very, very bad, and we need to try to...
Should we consider it our culture, or is this part of, like,
no,
a more...
No, it is not our culture. It's not an organic culture. You know, it's like a Jewish or capitalist culture. But it, you know, I think sometimes people don't realize how much they still kind of hold on to that, perhaps.
That whole mindset.
Yeah. I don't know. It's...
Yeah, no, this,
So, and I feel like these games offer a good criticism, though I do remember in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, he did, I think there was kind of, like, poking fun at rural people, because there's this area you could go to where it's, like, kind of backwoods California, and it's making fun of, like, rednecks. That's not good. But overall, like, this idea that, it's the American dream. It's making fun of the American dream, basically. And it's not really a dream, it's a nightmare. You know what I mean? Bootstraps.
As far as the games that, like, promote the most, the more, like, degenerate messaging in it, I haven't played the new one, but, like, the original Red Dead Redemption, that was, like, basically liberalism the game, because it's like, oh, the good centrist...
West.
The good centrist liberal John Marston here to bring, you know, law, justice, and fairness to every fag in the Wild West.
Yeah, I never played that game, really. My friend had it, and I played, like, 20 minutes of it, but I don't know if the...
The storyline, like, involves occasional moments of just, like...
Do they have the Klan in there at all? Because I know it takes place in the 1800s.
I don't remember the Klan being in the original Red Dead. I know there is in the second one.
Oh, gosh, of course. The worst thing that's ever happened in mankind was the Klan.
Yeah.
That's... This is a funny thing. I was at the bookstore that had the Japanese books, and I was looking at some of the Japanese kids, you know, like history books. And they had one. It was the funniest thing. I should have bought it. They're only like a dollar. I don't know why I didn't buy it. But it was manga going over U.S. history. And it's just manga of the KKK, like how they got together and what they did. You
Dude,
know?
I am here for Klaname.
Yeah. And there was also a manga about Adolf Hitler.
I'm here for that too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the overall message was kind of paused, but it was still funny seeing the Klan in manga, you know, form. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I was just laughing. But it was also interesting because, like, they had.
I want to see, like, the manga depiction of the trial and execution of Leo Frank.
That would be great. Well, knowing them, they would probably include it or something.
Like, you just get, like, a new game of Phoenix Wright, where Phoenix Wright, that was, like, this, sort of, lawyer RPG.
I never heard of that.
Have you ever seen like
that? Yeah, yeah, I know. I searched it up. I remember this. Yeah, yeah.
Like that image just goes, objection!
Yeah, yeah. It's on the DS?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
It's like a visual novel RPG.
That's kind
of
cool.
But I just want to see the like the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney trial of Leo Frank.
They should do one of like David Irving trial for his speech. yeah, man. I kind of miss those that era of gaming, like
time traveling Ace Attorney, where you go back and like end up exonerating the Nuremberg trials.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Gotta get on that, fellas. It's a visual novel. It's literally the easiest game to make.
That is cool, though. Sometimes the Japanese really have good concepts for games. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're too tired or not, but since the Grug Brains are out now, I've been reading some books about Hegel, and I think you are like me and you appreciate Hegel.
I do.
And just his idea of the dialectic or the identity of opposites is something that really speaks to me. It's really great.
I like that appeal to physics.
Yeah. I like how, I don't know, it feels like his philosophy is kind of like in motion. It's not stuck. You know what I mean?
Well, sure. I mean, that's the whole point. It has to be by its nature.
Yeah, exactly. The dialectic. But it's interesting to see, because if you guys didn't know, fascism was actually, or at least Giovanni Gentile was a neo-Hegelian philosopher. He was a part of the Italian idealists, you know, who were basically Italians who liked Hegel. So there is that connection for us. I know that the connection usually for some people is Hegel and Marx, but Hegel is he's a good philosopher, and he inspired a lot of our guys. And he's very hard. Don't get me wrong. Like, if you try to read the Phenomenology of Spirit without reading a lot of secondary literature beforehand, you're going to be lost, especially in the preface. That makes no sense. But if you read literature about him, even if you don't have to dive deep into him, just read some of the literature about him, and there are some good ideas out there. It's very fun. It's I don't know, edifying in a way. I just like it. I just thought I'd mention that to you because I know that you like Hegel as well.
Yeah, I mean, so all modern ideologies are heavily inspired from Hegel, with the exception of like neoliberalism.
Yeah.
Which is anti-Hegelian.
Would that be more like inspired by positivism or whatever, perhaps?
Perhaps, sure.
Yeah. I'm not
we don't need to it's less important where it comes from, just so that we know that it's not Hegelian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, unless somebody were to argue that it was the final Hegelian synthesis, but I don't think there's very many people who do make that claim. And where I think this is most apparent is Fukuyama.
See, you've talked about him before. I never got into him.
You need to know Fukuyama. You need to know Huntington. These are important thinkers who are defining the modern age ideology. Well, they define... I should actually be more specific than that. Modern age, as in since the 90s.
Yeah, when now. Contemporary, perhaps?
Yes, contemporary. That's the better word.
Yeah.
These are the thinkers who are the most influential, or at least were the most influential, on the world we live in today.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what they were saying back in the 90s. You know, I bring up Fukuyama in this context because his thesis was the end of history. The end of history is the end of Hegel's theory. It is the defeat of Hegel. It is the destruction of Hegel. The Hegelian system ends with the end of history, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is makes sense because a dialectical system implies a continued history. There is no end to history if there is a dialectic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it allows you to pinpoint, you know, different eras and different periods of time by the ideas that existed and then ended. So if one thing, you know, begins and ends in a given period of time, that's history. But if it doesn't end, well, then you don't really have history anymore, which was, I guess, what Fukuyama was getting at. Hmm. That at the time, it seemed that liberalism was unshakable and that this would be the order of the day until the ages of ages.
Yeah.
And he has since sort of abandoned that as, you know, Huntington has changed his mind on the clash of civilizations. But I think they are important theories for understanding the contemporary world. And, you know, you learn more through exploration of the Jewish question than you do through these two scholars. But it allows you to see what the mainstream understanding is, which is important because it informs so much of what goes on in the mainstream. The mainstream isn't operating on the Jewish question. Don't be fooled. The people who run the institutions that make policy, that interact with people on the smallest scales, they're not informed by this understanding of the JQ. They're informed by the understanding of the bureaucratic state of neoliberalism. Mm-hmm. And if you want to deal with reality, with the institutions that exist and have power on the way that they actually operate, you need to understand the mainstream thinking, which is, as I said, you know, these neoliberal theories. That's what I have to say on their importance.
Yeah. Maybe I should take a look at these fellows, because you need to know what these people are.
And it's not hard. And I think it's actually, you know, it'll carry your interest.
Yeah. So his stuff's not like dense or anything?
No.
Yeah. Because if you're reading Hegel, like, because I'm talking about, like, I'm going through the logic, not the actual, his actual logic, the book that he wrote, but like a guide through it. I have a book called The Philosophy of Hegel, and it spends like 300 pages on his logic. And so, maybe it'll be, I was hoping this won't be as complicated, but I assume it's not, because it's not dealing with logic. This is dealing with politics. But, maybe I should get this book one day if I see it at the bookstore or whatever. Have you actually read it, or are you just like took classes on it?
Both, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is good to know what the ideological foundations are of the enemy, perhaps, I guess you could say, you know, quite honest.
Go ahead.
Well, because I'm actually reading some Marx too, just to familiarize myself with Marx. And not all of it's complete shit. Don't call me a cuck or something. But there are some good things from Marx. But he takes really radical the wrong. He makes the wrong conclusion with some of his shit. But guys, we need to be educated. We need to read these things. We need to know these things. You know, don't be. There was a time where I'm like, oh, I'm never gonna read Marx.
In my personal experience, the things worthwhile from Marx made their way into the school of thought called Catholic social teaching. So if you want to, if you want to get through like the worthwhile parts of Marx, just stick with the Catholics. You don't have to go into Marx. You can if you feel like it, but if you don't.
I'm getting into Marx because I want to read a lot of the postmodernists, and this is a foundational guy for many of them. And
yeah, it's not for everyone though.
No, of course, yeah. But I'm saying, like, if you're that kind of goy who is willing to, who's more into theory, just get into this stuff, learn this stuff, know what they're thinking, know what their kind of reference point is in terms of ideology.
Practical point of, pro tip, let's say. Just have a girlfriend beforehand.
True.
Don't let it turn you gay.
Like reading Marx, or just like being an autiste about philosophy and stuff?
Yeah, all that.
Why, do you have experience with that? You just like...
I feel like it's, if you're going to be like, you know, want to go into the postmodernist autism... You know,
yeah, well, I'm about to go into, I'm
if you're not careful, if you're not careful, it'll make you gay.
Yeah, it is true. It will.
And the thing that'll prevent that is if you have a girlfriend, because if you have a girlfriend already, why would you become gay?
That's true. Or you can have your girlfriend help you read this stuff.
Just a pro tip, man.
Yeah, I bet you.
I'm not saying I know that this is a absolutely necessary step, but if I had to think of anything that could be a good precautionary measure, it's like, don't do it if you're a single guy who might be getting desperate.
Don't turn trans.
Yeah, nah, don't do that. Don't do that.
See, I want to learn some Deleuze, not because I'm that interested in his ideas, but Nick Land, he was kind of a Deleuzian guy, in his early stage before he went NRX. His accelerationism and stuff is inspired by Deleuze, and I don't know, I just want to be big-brained and autistic and know this stuff.
That's okay. Just don't be a fag.
Yeah.
You'll be right.
Yeah.
As long as you're not gay, I guess it's okay.
Exactly. As gay is gay.
True.
Well,
tautological as it is.
Yeah, being gay is the gayest thing you could ever do.
Wise words.
But, I don't want to read Derrida, though. I don't know. I saw what he looked like when he was still alive, and I'm not too happy. He's like swarthy guy. I'm like, huh? Why is this French guy so swarthy? And I look at his history, and he's from a Sephardic Jewish family in Algeria. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know if I want to read this guy, but we'll see. It would just be good to know this stuff for me, at least. If I'm engaging with my enemy, maybe I could use their own theory against them, perhaps. And maybe I could take some things that are good for us. You know, it's the third position. We're not stuck in this conservatism, at least for me, you know.
Don't let your third position become a Kurd position, because
definitely not, no.
I'd have to end you.
Yeah, I mean, most of the again, I'm starting with the recognition that most of this stuff is gay, but I want to know it so I could understand these homos who are attacking us all the time, and take the things that are interesting for us. If there are any, it may be a few, it may be like only 1% out of 100.
Remember, kids, Nazbols are braver than the troops.
Yeah, that's true, man.
I say this unironically.
Nazbols.
Gang.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So get that third position though. That's all I gotta say.
That's right.
Because that's the most powerful. That is the most powerful combination.
Indeed.
It's like a black hole that sucks all the good people in. I guess it's not a black hole. I don't know what analogy is. It's
a white hole.
A white hole full of white pills.
Yeah. Look, we don't need these niggas out here telling us all this Jewish shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's again, like what I'm doing, you don't have to do it, right? It's like, I hate to do this analogy, but maybe I'm like one of those Third Reich guys who act, you know, because there are some of those National Socialists who actually like read the Talmud. I think, what's his name? William Pierce actually did that recently. Where, you know, he wasn't in National Socialist Germany, obviously, but
was old enough to have been.
Yeah, exactly. But these fellows, like, are just, they're curious. They need to know these. Some people feel the need to know what their enemies are thinking. And I feel the need to do that. You may not feel the need, but I'm not going to turn gay. It actually solidifies my beliefs the more I get into this stuff.
All right, I'll hold you to that.
Yeah, but is there anything else you want to talk about? I know it's getting quite kind of late.
I don't know.
Zizek, you see that picture of him with his wife or something? I saw someone shared it. It was like
seen a picture like from his wedding.
It was like this 25-year-old girl. Something, and he was like at that time 50. He was like, man, nigga,
he's chad as fuck, man.
Yeah, he's got that Eastern European just troll essence, like, you know, that he's like a troll, like he
that what that West Slavic energy.
Yeah. he is probably one of the funniest guys I know of,
dude. He's on point. Like, you can't not listen to the guy. And yeah. It's so fucking regrettable that we got, like, a Jordan Peterson Zizek debate and not the Dugan Zizek debate. Now, that's the fucking debate I want to see.
Yeah, it's like you have this psychologist who does, like, self-help. I mean, I'm not going to...
Yeah, this fucking fag from Canada is just going to, like... You're not trained in political theory at all.
Yeah,
or you're even a psychologist. Philosophy. Yeah, even, you're...
Like, do you think...
Jordan it's like Peterson me going up there to talk about it. I don't have a fucking PhD in this shit. So why am I talking to a different... guy who actually has a PhD in this shit.
Yeah, BRB.
Yeah, it's
yeah, we got Jordan Peterson. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say that he's a retard, right? He's an academic. He did his thing, but he's not trained in philosophy. He's not trained in political philosophy to really deal with this guy. I mean, I don't think Jordan Peterson, you know, did a deep dive on like Kant and Hegel and
yeah, no, that debate was some ass, and Zizek just fucking raped this kid.
It's yeah,
raped him in a metaphorical way, unlike this asshole on Twitter, Dr. Pizza.
Yeah, that sicko with that name, like that's
fucking oven bait.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I doubt that Peterson has gone deep into a lot of the thinkers that inspire. I mean, how can you debate Zizek if you haven't like if you don't know what he's getting on at? You know what I mean? Like if you're Zizek is inspired by Lacan and Hegel, and if you don't know any of those fellas, how the heck are you going to debate him? I don't.
Yeah,
know. That's what I'm saying.
Look. Here's we didn't have
self-help guy.
If I had to accept a normie level of debate partner, we could have gotten somebody like Steve Bannon. And that would have been more interesting than Jordan Peterson.
Jordan Peterson.
But no, we had to get the fucking lobster faggot to go lobster on.
Faggot.
Like the man's just like, I'm gonna delve into fields that I have no business talking about because I don't play by the rules of academia. And while that's like good in some extent, it's just like no.
Okay, when I hear here. Funny mentioning Nazbols, I saw someone on Twitter, I think it might have been a leftist, unironically saying that Jordan Peterson was a Nazbol.
What?
Yeah.
How do you get that confused?
They said because he had like Soviet imagery in his house. Because he collects, I think, Soviet-era propaganda or paintings. And therefore, he is a Nazbol. Or, yeah. Because a lot of the anarchists left, they're having this kind of fear of the what they call the Red-Brown Alliance. And they're, like, trying to search out anyone in their ranks.
The Nazbol panic.
Yeah, they're having, like, a Nazbol panic when it's...
When that's actually the best thing that could happen.
And it's just so funny because... And they're trying to say that Jordan Peterson is this Nazbol. And they also did some weird things like maybe Lauren Southern once talked to Jordan Peterson, but Lauren Southern also interviewed Dugin. Therefore, Jordan Peterson, Nazbol.
Welcome to the Nazbol gang!
It's like, what are you even getting at, man? It says he worked for the NPD. But no, I misread it. It's the NDP, the New Democratic Party. I was getting confused with the party in Germany.
Ah.
The neo-Nazi party in Germany. I'm like, oh, Jordan Peterson. Maybe he's based.
Well, isn't that NDP?
NPD is the German party.
Why would it be NPD? I thought Partei would go at the end.
Well, it's because it's Nationaldemokratische Partei Deutschlands. Mm. So the National Democratic Party of Germany. So Partei is not the last word. So NPD. But yeah, it's like, oh, I thought I got confused for a second. I saw that. But it's like, no, he was working with the New Democratic Party, not the...
Probably something Canadian and gay.
Let's see what this is. It's a social democratic center-left...
Gay.
Party. Yeah,
gay.
This is when he was in his teenage years, but grew disenchanted with the party...
Because they're postmodernists.
They didn't like the poor. They just hated the rich. That was why he didn't like them.
Wow. This sounds like the Democratic Party and liberals all together.
No, they like the rich.
Nah, not the low-level people.
Oh, that's true. The intellectual, tweed-wearing, middle-class socialist. That's what he called the people that were there.
Take a look at yourself, Jordan.
No, at least he's not calling
himself. You're the middle-class... He's the capitalist. Just take all those other modifiers and change socialist out for capitalist.
This man.
You lack self-awareness.
Yeah.
Which I think he actually does, unironically, because he's like the clean your room bucko guy.
While his room is a total mess.
Yeah, you see pictures of him like doing a live stream where his room is filthy.
There's a video of Zizek touring his room. He's giving, like, people a tour of his room, and it's clean. It's spotless. So, It's all organized.
Yeah.
He said something like, I'm a Stalinist when it comes to my room. I have to have order.
He's also got a wife.
Yeah. Wait, does Jordan Peterson not have a wife?
I don't know. He might, probably.
He has that hot daughter, right?
Right. Yeah. So he's married, but I don't know if his wife actually cares about...
loves him?
Keeping his... I'm not going to say that. I just don't know about keeping a room clean, or their room clean. What if they sleep in separate rooms?
That would be crazy.
His wife is Tammy Roberts, who he married in 1989.
Not the best looking girl. She looks like a Polish grandma. No offense, Polish people.
Polak's BTFO.
But there is a face that Polish people have. I'm just saying.
I think our uncle identified as like the Slav phenotype.
One of my British friends from a while ago called it the fish face.
Fish face Polak?
Yeah.
Wow. Offensive.
But it is, you know, there is that phenotype and she has it.
All right. Doubling down.
Yeah. No offense. You guys are doing much better than Germany. I'll give you that. You guys are like...
Hey, you know what? You might be ugly, but at least you're right.
No, dude. They're either like 75% or ultra hot. Then you have like that 25% that look like fish. 25%.
See, I've never really been interested in Poland because, again, it's another one of these Catholic Slav countries.
Ah, you like the Orthodox Slavs.
Well, no fucking kidding, bro. What were you going to expect out of me?
Yeah, I'm just a fan of Protestant countries, so I'm not a fan of any of those fellas.
It's like, I don't really care for Croatians, but Serbs are my niggas. Ride or die, my niggas.
Yeah, man. I don't know how the Serb women look. Probably hot. Actually, no, I saw some that looked kind of manly, but no offense, Serbs.
No, Slavic
not
women...
Saying, I'm not saying our women look good. Hey.
Slavic women can look mannish.
Here's the thing.
Especially if they're rural and poor. You know, because they've, like, had to, like, you know, plow shit.
Yeah, they had to do
basically
stuff.
They've had to engage in manual labor, and, you know, they're going to have, like, muscle tone more than maybe you're, like, you know, the dainty bimbo that we're socialized to, be attracted to in this country. But you know what? If my wife is, you know, becomes one of these muscular women because she's like spent her life cooking with her hands, I'm not gonna complain.
She's gonna make you some good food.
She's gonna make me some good food. She's, you know, we're gonna love our grandchildren together, and I'm gonna die happy, you know, with my dense armed wife. Yeah, with my dense armed babushka.
Yeah, yeah.
And things will be great because this is the life God has given me. And I'll take it because it's the only one I'm going to get. And I have no reason to complain.
I don't know if Jordan Peterson's daughter is actually hot or she's just young. So she's still, you know what I mean?
Whoa, what?
What do you mean? Like she's like in her 20s?
I don't know.
Because you know what I'm saying is I talked about this with Barbara Streisand. Like when she was like in 1920, she looked okay. Like, okay, I see.
Right, now, right.
So I don't know. Maybe his daughter's going to turn into like his wife. I don't know. But I like myself some Nordic girls, how they look, but they need to change their behavior.
Pop Patrol.
Like, I love myself a nice Swede, you know. That's...
Nah, it's all about those Finnish girls, man.
That too. Finnish and Swede. That's like, oof. But you guys need to get your stuff together.
Finland, you can keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah, I think Finland's in a better situation than Sweden. I'll say this as someone who has Swedish ancestry, the counterfeit Anglo. I'm not a representative of Swedes or anything, but yeah, like Finland's, I think, much better.
Look, you can just drop your ethnicity now. The future is Finnish.
Nah, I'm Swedish till I die, nigga.
People say, you know, the future is female. But I say the future is finished. We are all.
The future is finished. We are done.
the pan-European ethno-state that Richard Spencer talks about is going to come about once we've all been Finnicized.
Yeah, I just want the Finns to take over, to be honest.
You know, once the Finns become the only white ethnicity to exist, because, you know, we've all been... taken, like, every other white ethnicity is just married into a Finnish bloodline, that's when we'll achieve the full ethnostate.
I think Finns, aren't they like the blondest country in Europe? Perhaps. I know what they're very
maybe blonde. I don't know. I would guess Iceland.
No, it's actually, I think, the Finnish. Blondest countries. Let's see what Google says. I mean, of course, like, the Scandinavians are high up there, but yeah, Finland, someone said.
What's Iceland at compared to Finland?
Let's see. I'm gonna get a real. This is a stupid. Let me see if there's a real graph.
Not a real source.
Yeah.
Look at this graph.
Yeah. So it's kind of it's a region as opposed to a country. It's most of Finland and a good amount of Sweden and Norway, the blondest. And Iceland is not as blonde as those areas. It does.
Wow.
So
Iceland confirmed Nigger Island.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the Finnish people are pretty good looking. But I still go with the Swedes. I'm sorry, but I love the Sweden women. But you guys, personality change it. Please. Please. But stop going with them Somalians.
Yeah, nah. Tell them Somalians are canceled.
You literally look like angels to most people, because you're like blonde hair, blue eyes, you're like, what the heck? They're like amazed, and you guys tarnish your heritage by like going with a Somali. I don't know. You guys don't want to marry. I mean, I've heard stories from friends who have Swedish family, how they just don't get married and just have sex all the time. But anyways.
Bro, these people, they need to get their shit straightened out. And yeah,
same with the Germans and everyone. Us. Not saying it's... Look, us Americans need to get our shit straightened out.
You know, I'm an American, and I can never not be an American. As of this week, there's now a second country added to my list of countries I will never fucking step foot in for the rest of my life.
Albania?
That country being, the Netherlands.
Why?
Well, it was after I found out about this, very depressing and disgusting, so inhuman and,
sex party
abominable. No, worse. They let this 17-year-old girl euthanize herself.
So she became
for
younger?
Reasons of depression.
And she was depressed because she was raped.
Yes. Probably by some migrant.
Yeah.
But who cares who it was? She's fucking dead now because a doctor killed her. And there is nobody who stood up in this process and said, I'm not going to let this fucking happen. And that's... That is fucking sin on our entire race. I'm responsible for that as much as that doctor was, because I didn't stand up and say, I'm not going to let you fucking do this. And I, you know, you could say I'm less culpable because I don't have the capacity to do that. I don't live in the Netherlands, and I didn't know this was going to happen. But God damn it, if I did, you can bet your ass I'd be out there stopping this shit.
I went to Amsterdam.
We are all personally responsible for this to some extent as a race. You, the listener, you are responsible for this.
But Nika, I'm an individual.
I am responsible for this. And yes, you, the individual, you are responsible for this. And this is sick that nobody prevented this from happening.
Yeah, Netherlands is a sad situation. I went to Amsterdam in 2006, and even then it's always been probably degenerate, at least in the 20th century to now, 21st century. But it was just, I saw a lot of blacks. I was confused because I was so young. It was 2006. I'm like, wait, why are these people black but speaking Dutch? Where are the Dutch? What? I thought you're supposed to be, there's Dutch people. What are they, what's going on here? And guess what? I was a little kid, and we signed up for this tour. And they knew I was a kid, my sister was a kid, my other sister was a kid, my cousin was a kid, we were under 18. I was like 10. This is 2006. And they're kids in the tour, and they still took us down the red light district.
Jesus.
And yeah, so I saw hookers in windows when I was 10.
That's absolutely disgusting. What the fuck?
So
see, dude. I have no regrets. I will never step foot in that country. That is the second country on my list of places I will never go in my life. And I feel ashamed. When I read that story, I felt personally ashamed that I couldn't do anything to stop this. that it was a mark against my race as a whole. And really, if you don't feel that way, you don't care enough.
Yeah, it's sad.
That this is a fucking sad state of affairs for the entirety of our people.
They'll let white girls kill themselves, but they won't deport North Africans.
Forget any other reasons. It doesn't have to be a hypocrisy in the face of anything else to be on its own. We could be deporting every single one of these motherfuckers, and if we still let this happen, we'd be worthless. Absolutely worthless. We don't deserve anything if this is what the shit will tolerate.
Yeah, it's we'll tolerate intolerable. This and
it's,
like
it is. It is an affront to our humanity, and we deserve to suffer for it until we're willing to stand up and fucking do something about it. We don't deserve anything if we allow this to happen. We are worthless if we allow this to happen, and I feel worthless a lot. Like having this happen, I feel like I have in some way failed my duty as a human being, as part of this, you know, human existence, man. You can't just let this shit go. You can't. And I wish I could have done something. I wish I could have known, but I just don't. And the fact this was even legal. It was legal for a doctor to kill this child, the 17-year-old child. My parents didn't even know it was gonna happen.
Oh, they didn't even know? Shit.
No.
That's weird.
And it's because she was 17, the parents didn't need to give the consent for this to happen. And like this girl posts on social media before it happens, like saying, "Don't try to convince me to not go through with this." When literally that's like what you do when a 17-year-old says that. It kills me, man. It just fucking
kills me. I
hate
to burst your bubble, but it says that she did not die from euthanasia. It was from starvation, forced starvation. She wouldn't let people force feed her. So it wasn't like, here's an injection. But still.
Where are you reading that?
New York Post. I don't know if it's... let's see. She had sought euthanasia without her parents' knowledge, but was rejected. And she suffered from post-traumatic stress and anorexia after the result of being raped at 11. And she just stopped eating and drinking, basically. It seems to be the case.
The story I read from The Independent gave me a different impression, but...
Yeah, I think
still, it's... man, like this...
Well, here's the thing, and...
The fact that it was even up for debate, it was even as an option, exactly. Is the problem.
My take is this. The fact, like, we talk about white Sharia or whatever, and I mostly agree with keeping women in line, but we as white men need to stop. Maybe it was a migrant that raped her, but she was young. Maybe it was like one of her cousins or something that raped her. You can't rape a girl, because it ruins them. I've known people who have been raped, women, and they turn anorexic a lot of the times, and it's a scary thing. And don't do this. Don't defile, you know, one of your own. Don't defile anyone. These are our
rapists.
Women.
Get the rope.
Yeah, you could joke, but, you know, at her age, I'm assuming it wasn't, maybe it could have been like a brown kid from school, but I'm just saying this as a general point. Like, I don't know. We need to improve ourselves, is all I'm saying.
Rape is a bad thing. I mean, that should go without saying.
No, yeah, of course. I think most of us agree. But I was just saying that we need to recognize that there is a problem with rape. And I don't know if it's a result of pornography. I don't know if it's always been there, but...
Oh, man, it has to be a part of pornography. But
yeah,
that's,
exactly. We have a 15-year-old
kid. That's like a direct
hit.
Conduit of over socialization in the sexual realm.
So you have a 15-year-old kid who's like known nothing but Pornhub. That's all he's known his whole life is Pornhub, and he like rapes his 11-year-old cousin or something or neighbor, and it's sad, man. Like, rape's not a good thing. I've known people who've dealt with it, and not to get all serious, but yeah, fuck people who rape, pieces of shit.
Yeah. But, there are a lot of comorbidities in this system. Over sexualization and drug abuse being one of the two biggest things out there. And, you know, from all those things, we get, you know, sexual deviancy and violence.
Yeah, yeah. And
these are one of the biggest social ills that we have, you know, outside of more voluntary things like just coercion and exploitation economically, out of where things are non-consensual, you know, we have violence and rape.
There's this other post from the New York Post. How HPV and a taboo sex act can lead to anal cancer. I wonder which sex act can lead to anal cancer.
Well, I'll give you one guess, man. Sodomy.
Okay, so there's this actress from Desperate Housewives, Marcia Cross, who was revealed on Wednesday that her battle with cancer was caused by the same HPV that led to her husband's throat cancer. So
I actually wasn't aware that HPV causes cancer until I saw that story this week. I knew that the HPV vaccine was said to also help prevent cervical cancer, but I didn't know that it was explicitly because HPV causes cancers, which is actually the case. So, fellas, please, if you got, you know, if you're out there just doing anything, wrap it up. HPV ain't nothing to fuck with, as I've learned this week, just reading about it. It's similar to herpes. I'm pretty sure it's the same kind of virus. It's in the same typology, because I think when it comes to viruses, the taxonomy is kind of hard to nail down since they're non-living. But point being is that the herpes virus and HPV kind of, you know, could be compared as similar. But HPV, you know, will cause cancer in the area of infection.
80% of people have HPV, sexually active people.
Scary shit, fam.
Yeah.
And I think most of it's just benign, though, right?
I don't know. But what I'm wondering is, this girl
get cancer?
Huh. Well, I don't know how to end this, but I have to get going. We're talking about very weird things.
Ending it on HPV.
HPV.
Do you know anybody who's gotten the vaccine?
Probably.
Well, I mean, explicitly, do you know that?
No.
I think somebody I knew said they were going to get the HPV vaccine, but I don't know if they ever went through with it.
Huh. I don't know.
God, now you gotta wonder, 80% of people have it. Do I have HPV?
But you're a virgin!
But do I have HPV?
I'm just kidding. No, 80% of sexually active.
Look, I know it's not just a sexually transmitted disease, right?
I don't know. Probably not. I mean, you sat, I don't know, some guy rubbed his dick on something and you put your hand on it.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. Or on the toilet, you take it, you know, public toilets. I don't know. I really don't know. But 80% of people have it. Wow. So I bet you have, guys, if you've had sex a lot, you probably have it. To be honest, I'm sorry, but you do. 80%. Jeez.
Foot niggas have HPV.
Foot niggas?
I just see on Wikipedia here, one of the first few things it says is, for example, human papillomavirus type 1 tends to infect the soles of feet.
Oh, shiznit.
And HPV type 2, the palms of the hands, where they may cause warts.
So check your hands and palms and stuff.
Have you ever had warts before?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I've had a wart in my foot before as well. Shit, nigga, I think I got HPV.
I've had a few warts. I had one on my nose that was taken off when I was a kid. That was embarrassing. And I had one on, I had a few on my hands. I haven't had one in 5+ years. But I guess we'll end it on the wart question.
Yeah, get that shit removed if you got them.
Yeah. Sometimes they disappear, but get that removed. They're actually kind of hard to get removed. Even if they freeze it, it might not work. If it's freeze it multiple times, it's crazy. But,
don't be a pussy. Cut it off with doctor's approval.
Yeah, well, Even that doesn't work sometimes.
Damn.
It's a weird situation. But anyways, my name is Anglo. With me I have the good old Nike. Ended it on a classic way, just me and him.
Yeah. Don't get HSTDs, please.
Don't get AIDS. Bye-bye.
Bye.